any excuses. I'm alright. Not stopping with any excuses. But I was here last night. I don't see other members here. I take it that they are still on the way. I saw one member on my way as I was getting here. Still talking on the cell phone. I tell you that we are certainly going to go ahead as scheduled. We meant to start here at 8 o'clock, and the reasons are given as to why we're starting at 8 o'clock. We have another session at 10 o'clock with a perishable product grouping. Also, the reason why we are engaging in such a speedy exercise or speedy exercises, it is also in keeping with the regulations that compel us to conclude all our reports that relate to our committee. Compel all our entities and departments that account to our committee to conclude their presentations and reporting, so that we are able by the 13th of April, on a 3-day notice period, to present and adopt a report before it is tabled to Parliament and the National Assembly. So that we are doing is in keeping with such a rule. You are from? Can we be on the other side so that there's no confusion, if you don't mind, unless you want to join Parliament as of today. And we'll also have to declare which political party part of. We want to have a very clear them and us scenario here. That has no confusion. You are allowed to be part of a progressive movement. It's the left here, not the left movement. It's the right. Okay. Without a waste of time, should I give it to you, CEO? Where is your chaplain? Oh, you don't have a board, by the way. That's another challenge that I might also mention, members, that ARC finds itself in such a situation where they don't have a board. The situation, just to give a quick summary for the benefit of other members, the law, again, as I said in one other earlier meeting, welcome all members who have just joined us. The law that governs ARC, which is Section 3 of the PMFA, Schedule 3 of the PMFA, basically only allows the chairperson of a committee in Parliament, both the National Assembly and also NCOP, to join an advisory council that is appointed by the minister to oversee a process of the appointment of the board. I was called into such a session late November, beginning December, wherein processes were already afoot for the appointment of the board. Unfortunately, I then had to highlight an oversight on the part of that advisory council on a need to engage Parliament, because that's what is stipulated in the law, that both committees in Parliament have to be taken on board in the processes of the appointment of the board by way of nomination. Unfortunately, again, similar situation that we have had with the Land Bank, wherein our role only and solely becomes that of having to nominate. As to what happens after nomination, the minister decides. In the instance of the Land Bank, it is the Minister of Finance, and here it is the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. A deadline was set for the 8th of January for the Speaker and the Chair of the NCOP to basically instruct members of this committee to come together and be able to process their nominations, feeding into that process of that advisory council. Unfortunately, eighth of January was a time where these members are not here, so there wouldn't be anything posted on the ATC for members to come together. So we have since been waiting for the department to give the Parliament, both the Parliament houses, another deadline. Unfortunately, having been interacting with the DG beginning of last week, we had to remind them again about the urgency of the matter, which you share as well. But we have acknowledged the fact that as members of Parliament, we shouldn't wait for that process to kick in. We should already, in our respective political parties, begin a process wherein by that time we shall have been able to say here is an outcome of a process that respectively political parties shall have engaged in, so that it doesn't take much of our time and your time. So that's how far we are on the matter, and I must assure you, CEO, that the matter is not with us, it is with the department. So the department process correspondence through the Speaker and the Chair of the NCOP so that we get that instruction for us to be able to move forward. I thought I should give that little background so that we are able to get a sense of where we are. I would imagine that is a straightforward, you know, information. We have shared it before. I thought in the presence of ARC, let us also, you know, just re-emphasize on the issue. In the absence of anything to say for now, we shall then hand over to your good self. Very briefly, introduction, and then shoot. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, honorable members, for giving us the opportunity to come and present our strategic plan and business plan. But before I proceed, perhaps I should indicate that who is the team that is with me from the ARC. We've got Dr. Gina, who's sitting on my left. He's our executive for research and development. We had planned to have Miss Anati Tanga, who's our executive for technology transfer. Unfortunately, she's got a bereavement at home, so I've had to do without her today. It's something that just happened over the weekend. And then we've got Ms. Toby Matlaisani, who's our manager for marketing and communications. And then we've got on my right here, Mr. Gabriel Maluleka, who is our chief financial officer. And then we've got Mr. Michael Natsianda, who's our executive for HR and corporate support services. And then we've got with us the company secretary. That's the person who keeps all the records and the information regarding board matters. And it's for that purpose that I thought it important that he also comes in and listens in. Mr. Craig Matthews. So when you get letters written or signed by him, he is, you know, sending those letters on behalf of the board. So that's the company secretary, and that's the administrator for board matters. Chair, I appreciate your feedback regarding the update on the board matters. Perhaps for the purposes of record, it's a very, very urgent and very important matter from our side. I think between December and January, it was fine for us because much of the business of the organization was largely internal, and we were not going to be making any major decisions. We are now in a situation where we have had to bring the strategic plan without having taken it through the board. We as executives have had to work hard to try and put it, according to the mandate of the previous board, and then we've taken it through to the minister. That's the kind of risk we've had to take and the responsibilities we've had to take. My worry now is that come towards the end of the financial year, we now need a board that must feel comfortable with the financials of the organization. It must feel comfortable with the performance report of the organization and hand these to the Auditor General for auditing. In the absence of that, again, it presents that responsibility on the executive to do that work. And as you know, in terms of corporate governance, that's not a very comfortable situation for me, because it places that heavy burden of the dual responsibilities. And obviously, as you know, in terms of corporate governance, presents itself with some of its own risks. But that's not the purpose of our discussion here today. I thought it's important that highlights that particular concern from my side. It's making my sleep even less and less comfortable. But perhaps we should then proceed. Chair and honourable members, we have gone about trying to work out our strategic plan and business plan in accordance with the changes that have been happening in the country since April 2009. We've reviewed our internal business in accordance with our mandate and in accordance with whatever strategies and policies that exist in the country, particularly those that have a direct bearing on our work. And here we're talking about having to study and examine the agriculture production strategy that has been put together by the Department of Agriculture and try to see how is it that we can fit and deliver on that. We've examined the Comprehensive Rural Development Program documents and to try to say how do we really make sure that our work contributes towards the achievement of that particular program. And as well as all of those that are listed on the slide before you. And we've crafted our key result areas within those particular lines. And as a result of that, what became clear to us was that 3.5 years since beginning of 2007, it meant that we had to review our strategic plan and try to see if we need to develop a whole new strategic plan for the new medium-term framework. And that's the process that we have gone through. That, by the way, that's also required in terms of PFMA to review our long-term strategic plan on an annual basis and determine how much of it has changed and how much of it needs to be revised and changed. And we've done that, and that's the process that we've gone through. And that is why you've got in front of you both the strategic plan and the business plan. Strategic plan for the 5-year period, and the business plan for the financial year that's coming. We've tried to align this with all the government strategies and policies, but in particular, we've tried to make sure that it really talks to medium-term strategic framework priorities. The layout in terms of presentation may not necessarily be that easy to see, but we've actually done it. We're in the process of trying to create another template just for presentation purposes that's going to make it easy for people to see what's in the medium-term strategic framework priorities and how do they directly link with our outputs and key result areas. That'll be another process that we're engaging in with the Department of Agriculture so that when they report, they can comfortably say, yeah, this is how ARC fits in this. So as part and parcel of doing this, we've also tried to make sure that whatever we do must fit within the limited resources that we've got, both human, physical, and financial resources, to cut our cloth, our suit to fit within the cloth that we've got. By way of background, science institutions periodically, at least once every 5 years, go through an expert independent panel review or assessment that sort of looks at what are the positives and what are the things that have weaknesses and what are the things that require improvement. So we've also gone back and examined what happened in terms of that review that happened in 2005-06, and the report was presented in 2006-07 to the ARC and to the Department of Science and Technology with its recommendations. We've gone back and looked at those recommendations and said, what have we done as the ARC management or as the ARC to really resolve those things that were weaknesses to try and improve on what was recommended for us to improve? And this slide just brings very briefly, we presented a whole list of those recommendations in the strategic plan and an update of what we've actually done. For starters, there was a need for us to improve the management processes and the way the management was doing things.
Just unpack the acronym.
SETI stands for Science, Engineering and Technology Institute. I think that's the only acronym there.
Science what?
Science Engineering Technology Institute. That PDA? PDA stands for Provincial Department of Agriculture. SOE stands for State.
What is PDA?
Provincial Department of Agriculture. SOE stands for State-Owned Entities. Or enterprises, and then NGO stands for non-government organizations. So, as a way of an update, you will recall that I reported about 3.5 years ago that we have restructured the ARC. We've made it some people say it's a lean, mean organization. We've gone from 11 executives to 4. And we've refocused the type of business that we are. We've created a unit that focuses primarily around disseminating the results of our research, and that's our technology transfer headed by an executive, Ms. Anati Kanga, who's unfortunately not here. So We've done quite a number of things. Even at the institute, there are some new managements, and we have program managers all the way down to the project to try and make sure that we deliver much more effectively and do our work much more efficiently and effectively. In terms of a recommendation that ARC needed to strengthen its linkages with external sources of knowledge, we have engaged a number of universities and have concluded and implemented agreements to collaborate with them, both inside South Africa and outside South Africa. We have an agreement with the Chinese Academy of Agricultural Sciences, the Tokyo University of Agriculture and Technology, the Agriculture Research Service in the United States, and quite a number of others to try and collaborate with them and try and see if we can effect our work accordingly. There was a recommendation that ARC needed to improve the quality and relevance of its research outputs. We have intensified our focus on the quality of our research, our advisory and diagnostic services, and the publications. Just by way of example, you will recall I reported in the annual report for 2008 and 2009 we have exceeded our targets in terms of the publications as the ARC for the first time in a long time. In other words, the number of publications published by the ARC in 2008 and 2009 financial year exceeded the number of people with PhDs in the ARC. Which is quite a unique achievement. Even universities don't have that in this country. There was a recommendation for ARC to focus on transformation in its broad sense. And as an update, we've been busy with diversifying our workforce through active recruitment, but also diversifying our approaches in terms of research and the way in which we are organized. There was a recommendation, for example, that we need to look for partnerships, reorientation of our R&D agenda for developmental needs of the poor. We've entered into partnerships with provincial departments of agriculture, other state-owned entities such as CSIR, the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research, the Medical Research Council, and so on. We've also entered into partnerships with some of the non-government organizations, even pharma organizations, such as National African Farmers Union, and so on, the Deciduous Food Producers Trust, and so on, with quite a number of them, to try and find ways in which we can transfer the results of our research much more effectively. This slide just provides an example by way of an update from that particular review of what is it that we've done, to try and improve on the work that we've been doing. As I said earlier, we had a mandate from the previous council, the previous board of the ARC, which said that the ARC management needed to try and make sure that whatever ARC does, it contributes towards growth in agriculture within the context of increased productivity, and that ARC contributes towards growth in exports through innovation of new products and processes. ARC contributes towards the reduction of rural poverty within the context of productivity improvements, and that ARC needed to contribute towards the mitigation of agricultural risks, and that management also needed to make sure that they conduct some business analysis to optimize the performance of the organization and reduce duplication, that as an organization we needed to look for synergies and collaborations, to look as part and parcel of management at the ratio of scientists and try to create a critical mass and achieve optimum performance in its science and technology, and that we improve upon effectiveness and efficiencies, and that also that we need to improve upon our reporting controls. So in a nutshell, this is the mandate that we had from the board that whose term expired at the end of November. We have taken this on board as part and parcel of our strategic planning processes and review processes, and have taken these issues as part and parcel of our